Father, I pray for my friend Dave, that, Lord, as he speaks about the goodness of God, this is not some academic exercise for us or for him, but, Lord, it's because he lives in the goodness of God the whole time. He experiences the goodness of God. And, Father, I pray that he imparts just a real sense of faith and hope to us this morning. So will you give us hearts to receive what you want us to hear this morning? Amen.
Well, good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing? Thank you, Jesus, for the sunshine. I was talking to Michael at the beginning over coffee, and he said, out of the last 100 days, 88 of them have had rain. So praise the Lamb, the sun is shining. Oh. Let's just bask in that. The end. That's all I need to say. Okay, well, actually, I should probably start by saying, just want to say thank you for all of you who sent us cards and flowers. It was announced 2 weeks ago, was it? Chloe's mum sadly died 2 weeks ago. We had the funeral on Wednesday. And so we just want to say thank you very much for your support, for your love, and all that kind of stuff. And the funeral went well. It was, you know, as well as those things can do, it was a lovely time. So just want to say thank you very much for your support. This morning, I am talking about the goodness of God again. Some of you may know, some of you probably won't know, that the central leadership team are currently working through a leadership course released by Bethel called the Leadership Development Program, Year One. And each month has a theme, and the themes are as follows. Family, joy and hope, the goodness of God, risk and faith, honour, the prophetic, grace and empowerment, valuing his presence, releasing the supernatural, salvation and righteousness, generosity and revelation and the word. So we're kind of like working through those. And so what kind of we decided to do is we kind of may as well mirror that kind of those kind of themes of topics that we're, you know, currently exploring and looking at. And so we're going to mirror those on Sunday morning. So far, you may have noticed, you may have not noticed. We've done family, we're doing the goodness of God. Colin did that. We've done family and joy and hope. So just so you know where we're going on Sunday mornings, that's where we're going. So this morning, I'm talking about the goodness of God. And it's one of my favourite topics in the whole world. Last week, Colin looked at the fact, and if you haven't listened to it, it'd be great. I advise you to listen to it online. It was more of a teach than a preach, I felt. But he taught on the fact that God is not in control. He is in charge, but he's not in control. And when you're thinking about the goodness of God, if you really think it through, how can a God be good, let bad things happen? And he unpacked the book of Job, which is one of the first books written in the Bible. It was written around the time of Abraham. And in that book, all this bad stuff is happening to Job. And all his God-fearing friends are saying, oh, Job, you know, it must be this, it must be this. And they're defending God. And at the end, God rebukes them, you know, for their defense of him. And actually, it turns out that there was a spiritual battle going on. And that's what he taught on. And talked about, you know, throughout Scripture, God has revealed himself as, you know, in different ways. And one of the very first ways he revealed himself was as a God who's not in control. And he reveals himself as good, and he reveals himself as faithful, and he reveals himself as a love and all that kind of stuff. And it pinnacles with the life of Christ. And that's the ultimate revelation of God's goodness. And that's what I want to be talking about this morning. I want to talk about the goodness of God revealed in Jesus. And then I'd like to talk about some practical pointers, some tips from Dave. And I actually tried to give them this time, because I know last time I was talking about loving Jesus, intimacy with the Lord, and I would say, I'm going to give my tips, and then I forget to. I gave like 2 tips out of 5 or something. So I'm actually going to try and give some tips from Dave on how to actually live a life where we constantly are grounding ourselves and anchoring ourselves in the goodness of God. So let's quickly look at Jesus. Please turn to Hebrews 1:3, and maybe someone else can turn to John 14, verse 9 and 10. And maybe the last person can turn to Colossians 1:15. Hebrews 1:3 says this, and this is just so, so helpful, I think. He, talking about Christ, is the exact radiance of his glory, talking about the Father, and the exact representation of his nature. Jesus says in John 14, "He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say to us, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding me does his works." And Colossians 1:15 says, "He is the image of the invisible God." So Jesus is the exact representation of the Father. I'd like to illustrate it
through this mirror. This is my old bathroom mirror. Chloe broke it on the way here. What do you see when you look in the mirror?
Awesome sight.
It's a beautiful. Some of you are going, "Oh." Some of you are going, "Oh." What do you see when you look in the mirror? You see yourselves, right? It's an exact representation. Apart from being back to front. You see your faces. You see the exact representation. And what I'd like to just say is that Jesus is the exact representation of the Father. So when we look at the life of Jesus, when we look at him healing all those who are under, like, who had sickness and disease, freeing people from demonic possession, bringing supernatural provision, spending time with those who are outcast and the lonely, raising the dead. When we see the life of Jesus and ultimately hanging on a tree and saying, "Father, forgive them," to those people who are spitting at him, jeering him, the ones he created. They're not even asking for forgiveness, but he's saying, "Father, forgive them anyway." When we see the life of Jesus, it's like looking at a mirror. It's the exact representation of the nature of the Father. And that is perfect theology. That is the pinnacle of theology. Jesus says, "The scriptures point to me." And he's like the summation of it. And so when we think about, like, when we've got all the different aspects of kind of life and trying to wrestle with stuff. So for instance, you know, when I read the Old Testament personally, I look at it and some of the stuff I just don't get. I'm thinking, "Father, this, you're not the God sometimes that I read about in the life of Christ." But I don't let it change my understanding of the nature of God. Because I know that Jesus is the pinnacle. He's the exact representation of the Father. So I look at God, you know, doing bad stuff, or you know, commanding, like, you know, mass killings and stuff like that. And my prayer is, "Jesus, give me wisdom and understanding and revelation on this. Help me to understand it, because at the moment I don't get it and I don't want to change my understanding of who you are, because you are represented perfectly in the nature of Christ." So that's the first thing. The second thing is when we look at bad things happening, so when we look at tsunamis, when we look at hurricanes and, you know, the wipe out cities and all that kind of stuff, we need to understand that Jesus, he cursed storms. And we filter our theology, we filter our, you know, what we see and all that kind of stuff, we filter it through the revelation of Christ. That he didn't allow that stuff to happen. So, the problem comes, though, I believe, mainly, when we're thinking about the goodness of God, the total goodness of God, the problem comes is when we pray and nothing seems to happen. It's like, "God, you're so good. You reveal yourself in the character of Christ and you commission us to be releasers of the kingdom and all that kind of stuff. But we've prayed for this dead person and they haven't got raised. Or we've prayed for, you know, this thing and it really, really matters to me and it doesn't get raised and it doesn't happen." What do you do then? What do you do about the goodness of God? Where do you put God being totally good and totally loving and totally interested in our lives and, you know, a loving Father and all that kind of stuff? Where do you put that in the midst of just, you're praying for this? And it's like, what's going on? And so I'd like to kind of give, you know, my personal, what I do personally in my heart and in my mind when prayer isn't answered. Okay. So the first thing I do is I think to myself, it's okay not to know. I think, like all of us, need to have kind of hanger in our mental closet for mystery. You know, God is like, he's absolutely huge. He's cosmologically infinitely, you know, massive. He created us. He built the stars and the space and science and everything. He just knows everything. He's just ridiculously big. And to think that we can understand everything is like, you know, it's quite arrogant and unrealistic, actually. But nevertheless, you know, I don't want to say that. That's an excuse to go, oh, well, you know, we'll just say, oh, it doesn't matter and not think, you know. But there is a place where you're saying, you know what, I don't know the answer to this, but I know you're still good, God. And I'm just going to, like, leave that tension there and just be happy with the kind of the dissatisfaction of the mental tension. So the first thing is, it's okay not to know. The second thing, for me, is to acknowledge that prayer was never intended to be like a game of roulette. You know, it's like, okay, we're gonna pray now, and we're gonna spin the roulette, and maybe it's gonna get answered, and maybe it's not. You know, that was never God's heart for prayer and seeing prayers answered. His heart was to see us take dominion and rulership of this earth through friendship with him, through walking side by side in intimacy and closeness and tenderness. He's looking for friendship. And so prayer is not supposed to be this distant, okay, dear God, come on, maybe this one will get answered. Oh, then it's not answered. It's like, oh, well, you know. You know, the distance isn't supposed to be there. There's supposed to be a closeness in it. So that's the second thing, is to recognize that, number one, it's okay not to know. Number two is that actually I shouldn't be treating prayer like a roulette wheel anyway. The third is that the church has been given authority. God has given the church authority to bring the kingdom of God. And so when I pray, and it doesn't happen, my thought is not, God, why hasn't this happened? It's, Dave, you need to grow. Because authority is something which we can grow in. This is my personal take on it. Jesus, he grew in authority. And basically we see that at the beginning of Luke, where it says in Luke 2, verse 52, and then in Luke 4, 14, it talks about how Jesus, he continued to grow in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. And then there's this kind of like interesting kind of like phrase where he goes into the wilderness full of the Holy Spirit. And actually, just the chapter before that, the Holy Spirit kind of descends on him as a dove. Then he goes into the wilderness full of the Holy Spirit. And he comes out in the power of the Holy Spirit. And what you kind of see is like this increase happening like in those three chapters. And I think, you know, if Jesus grew, then we're to grow. And then just like to add to kind of the picture, at the end of John, and other places in Scripture as well, like Jesus, he kind of gives us these blank checks. He gives us these like kind of ridiculous promises. Like in John 15, he says, abide in me, and you may ask for whatever you wish, and it'll be given to you. Like, whatever you wish. That's crazy. But it's grounded in the context of abiding. Just this week, I was at the big year graduation ceremony, and there's the Moody's. Some of you who know who they are, some of you won't. They've come over from the States. They've just done the Bethel Supernatural School, and they were with Heidi Baker out in Mozambique the year before that. And they've come to get involved in the leadership of SLAO and to explore that as a potential, you know, way forward. But they said something really interesting during one of the prayer times. Is they said, Heidi Baker, she was in Toronto, and Randy Clark prophesied over her, saying that you were going to, you know, raise the dead and open blind eyes and all that kind of stuff. And it was a really profound moment for her. She went back, and she, as in response and obedience to that, she prayed for every single blind person she met, and there was a lot of them. Out in Mozambique, and none of them got healed for a year, but she continued. And then after a year, a breakthrough happened, and now she sees 95% healing of blind people and almost 100% deaf ears opening. And so there's a journey of growing in authority. Jesus also prays, in that story where the disciples are praying for the boy who's filled with demons,
And the way it describes it is like he's having epileptic fits. And the disciples at the time are the most experienced miracle workers on the planet. And you know, they've seen more supernatural stuff than anyone ever. And you know, they're doing it with Jesus, and they come up to him and they go, "Why isn't this working? You know, we've done what you've told us to do." And he says, "This kind can only come out through prayer and fasting." Thereby implying that actually more prayer equals more power. And that's a common thread you see throughout history. You look at the lives of you know, all kind of the revivalists who have walked, you know, in phenomenal signs and wonders and seen loads of healings. They're men and women who really, really are intimate with the Lord. So what I'd like to propose is that when I pray for people, when we pray for people and they don't get healed, we don't put it back on God and say, "Why haven't you done this, God?" Because he's given us authority and we need to put it onto ourselves, not in a judgmental, "Oh, I'm rubbish, oh, bloody, bloody, blah," but knowing that we're his kids, he loves us, all that kind of stuff. But there needs to be that pull in our hearts that, you know what, we need to grow. We need to press in. We need to hunger. We can see, you know, a breakthrough in praying for people for this kind of stuff, and maybe see some results. But actually, we want to see more. And there needs to be that hunger inside of us to actually put it back on ourselves and go, "You know what? I prayed for this person and they didn't get healed, and that's unacceptable." Because if Jesus was in these Vans trainers and these jeans, they would have got healed. They would have got healed. And that's what he's called us to be. He's called us to be his body, his representation, the gateway between heaven and earth. That is our job, and that's something that I believe we grow in. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Cool. So that's kind of like a theological kind of thing that I have in my head. It's kind of some more practical things. So what I do when we pray and nothing happens, you know what I do? I go straight into worship and thankfulness. Where thankfulness is just the most unnatural thing. People, you know, you look at the news, just like the conversations of people in the pubs and stuff, and it's just so, so easy to whinge. Because you just take for granted all the amazing things in life, and what you often see are the things which aren't going right. Whereas actually, when you choose to name things which you're thankful for, you know, it says in the Psalms, we enter his courts and his gates with thanksgiving and praise. When we choose to posture ourselves, you know what, this may not be right, but actually, you know what, I'm really thankful for this, this, and this. And when I personally am down, I make a point of naming things that I'm thankful for out of discipline. I go, "Right, so I'm thankful for this, Lord. I'm thankful for this. I'm thankful for this." Maybe 10. And by the end of it, I'm like, "Oh, actually, that thing that I was moaning about, you know, it's not actually as bad as, you know, I thought it was." And the second thing I do is praise. To worship in the face of, like, brokenness. To worship in the face of, "God, why hasn't this happened? This is absolutely heartbreaking, and I know it matters to you, and I know that you know it matters to me, and I'm praying for it. I don't know what else to do, but nothing's happening." When there's that real kind of sense of desperation and brokenness, to still praise and worship, I feel, is one of the most powerful things we can do. Because what we do then is we offer something to the Lord which we can never offer to him in the next life. When we offer him praise and worship in this life, in the midst of all the suffering, the pain and the confusion, and all that kind of stuff, it has a flavour to it which we can't offer to him in heaven. So there's a poignancy, there's a punch to it, you know? So, praise and worship. The next thing I do is I feed myself on what God is doing. When I'm praying for stuff and nothing's happening, you focus on what isn't happening. But actually, if you choose to find, to search out what God is doing, you then are encouraged and you approach situations from a place of encouragement rather than discouragement. And because especially as a leader, you know, that's what your job is to look at, like, what isn't right and look at how to change it. And so it's so easy to constantly just be discouraged. "Oh, this isn't right. This isn't right. This needs to change. This is really weird," you know, all that kind of stuff, you know, and you just end up being discouraged. Whereas actually, if you choose to focus on what God is doing and what is going well, not just being like, you know, ignoring everything else, but that's the thing which you let feed you,
then you live from a place of encouragement, and you can then leak the goodness of God, which is what it's all about. So, with that in mind, Pete, do you want to share a testimony?
Yeah, sure.
So Pete came over for dinner last night. Pete Vickers, everybody. Pete came over for dinner last night, and Nick cooked a good curry. Nick, there's our housemate at the back. Wave your hand. Right, Nick Chantham, welcome. Be nice to him. And Pete was sharing this story of what happened when he was on a mission trip earlier in the year. And I just thought, you know what, that's so encouraging. I'd like to share it this morning. So go for it.
Sweet. Well, hey, you're all a very beautiful bunch of people. So I've been in Bethel this last year doing their school of ministry. And as part of that, you get the opportunity to go on mission. And I was given the extreme privilege to go to New Zealand and Tahiti. Suffering for gospel. Hey, really suffering. But anyway, whilst in Tahiti, basically what we go and do is we just go and love and support and bring what we've kind of, all the stuff, all our breakthroughs and all that kind of stuff that we've gone through in the year to that community and just kind of love them, draw out the best from them. And in Tahiti, the church had organized this night at McDonald's, which was the place to hang on this particular day, this bigger event. And basically, we just went there and loved. Just loved the people and like all these people. And basically, I was there as the official photographer, which turned out to just sit on the table, and I just walked around talking to people, as being a vicar's son you do, if you know my mum at all. Basically, these guys came in on scooters. Probably there were 7 of them. They came in like kind of late 20s to early 30s, what I would consider the hardest nuts to crack. They came in, you're like, oh dear, here we go, the boys are in town. And we sit down, as part of what we're doing is very kids orientated. So I kind of assumed balloon making task. I am no good with balloons. So I tried to make my best dogs possible. Anyway, these guys sat down at this table, started eating their McDonald's. I came up to them, so summoned my little bit of courage, and just said, hey, do you want a balloon? And the kind of gang leader of it was just like, yeah, but I want a hat. And for those of you who know, French can only be spoken when your hands aren't in your pockets. You're like, you know, you can't communicate French if you don't know French without your hands. So I was trying to communicate all these different things. And anyway, basically they all wanted something from me. Ran out of balloons. But one thing led to another. It ended up sparking this conversation with these guys, so we had to get a translator in because my French is somewhat limited. Anyway, basically one thing led to another. And I think the reason you're asking me to speak right now... Yes, to the point, is basically, I just felt this peace upon me, and this grace, and this like little surge of courage go, I feel like the Lord wants to heal some of you right now. Are any of you feeling any pain? And alongside this peace came this just assurance that, actually, like, of course, God is going to heal this. I know who I am. I know what I carry. I know who God says I am. Of course they're going to get healed. Do you know what I mean? And as you just kind of go in that confidence and just go, look, God is about to heal you. They're like, oh, okay. This faith pulls heaven down. And like, so what happens is just like, are any of you feeling pain? And four of the seven put their hands up. And anyway, we prayed for one at a time. 3 of them, it was one of those things you couldn't really test then. It was like, after a day's work, I have this pain in this certain area. But each of them said that they felt something. And I was just like, well, we'll claim that healing. Do you know what I mean? None of that obvious kind of limbs growing out routine. Just this kind of a faith healing. Well, they're all faith healings, aren't they? But anyway. And then the last chap was like, I have this pain in my eye. And we're like, okay, well, we're just going to get rid of that for you. Not because of we, but because of who Christ is in us. And we're like, well, we're just going to get rid of the pain. Prayed for him, pain left. He's just like, whoa, the pain's gone, but I've still got this problem with my eye. Like, we haven't got to that yet. Wait up. You've got a chance. And basically, then we prayed for him, and he got completely healed of whatever it was in front of his mates, which was incredible because these guys that are just sitting there like lads, just having a laugh. And then again, just the grace with the team. There was a bunch of us that kind of rallied at this point. Just kind of go, do you know what? I feel these guys really need to just know Jesus and meet him. So then the confidence came out, look, you're about to meet the Jesus. What Jesus has just done, he's just shown his love for you. So we just kind of led them, and all 7 of them committed their lives to the Lord there and then. Which is amazing. I've never seen anything like that. And the thing I just want to really encourage you with is how easy it is. Like, as soon as you switch into performance mode, if I've got to do this, I should do this, it repels heaven. Because ultimately, it's God working through us. And we just got to co-labor with him. And we know he wants to do this stuff because suffering isn't in heaven, and on heaven as it is on earth as it is in heaven. Yeah, something like that. So it was just really easy just to be, look, I'm just going to operate out of me being me as Christ created me to be. I'm going to be expectant because I know God wants to heal him. And I think that's just a testimony of just seeing how easy it is. And like, you don't have to hype anything up. Just say, God, give me the confidence just to share like your will with these guys. And as I own that, crazy, crazy stuff happens.
Come on. You're going to change the world. You're so radical. But that's encouraging, right?
Yeah.
And so when you focus on what God is doing, you just live encouraged. And you're like, oh, this isn't happening, this isn't happening. But this is happening, this is happening. You are at work, God. It is amazing. The next thing I do is I like to do declarations. You know, the power of life and death is in the tongue. So I like to speak out the truth. You know, sometimes, you know, I wake up in the morning and I'm just so overwhelmed. Maybe I'm just kind of a sensitive person, but sometimes I get really, really nervous about some of the conversations I need to have in the day, some of the things which need to be done. I just don't think I can do it. And I just get so overwhelmed personally. And I just think I can't do it. And you know what I do? I just get out some of my declarations and I speak them out until my heart, my mind gets to a place of, yes, I can do it. I can live like and be the person that God calls me to be. So I'd like us to do some declarations. Come on. Declaration number one. Please repeat after me. My prayers are powerful and effective.
My prayers are powerful and effective.
Number two. God richly supplies all my needs. Number three, I am dead to sin and have a victorious DNA in me.
I am dead to sin and have a victorious DNA.
Come on, just smile as you say it. Just, I prosper in all my relationships.
I prosper in all my relationships.
Come on. Through Jesus, I'm 100% loved and worthy to receive all of God's blessing.
Through Jesus, I'm 100% loved and
worthy to receive. God is on my side, therefore I cannot be defeated.
God is on my side, therefore I cannot be defeated.
Come on. Should we just keep going?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I am royalty.
I have insight and wisdom.
I have insight and wisdom.
I have ideas and divine strategy. I have a sound mind. I think the right thoughts and say the right words.
I have a sound mind. I think the right thoughts and say the right words.
I make the right decision in every situation I face.
I make the right decision in every situation.
Last one. And I say to this day, you are blessed.
I say to this day, you are blessed.
And I declare that I serve a mighty God.
Who today
will do exceedingly and abundantly beyond all that I can ask or think. Yay! That's fantastic, isn't it? Well, I love it anyway. I'm just encouraged. Woo! I can change the world. Yay! Okay. The last thing... that I do when I'm just kind of really just, you know, God, it feels like there's no answer to prayer and the goodness of God is on the line for me. One of the things I do is Psalm 34. I taste and see that the Lord is good. And I posture myself for an encounter with him. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to give out some Lindor. I don't think I've got enough for everyone. So who's good at catching? Okay, so you don't have a choice. I'm literally just going to start tossing. Sheila. Maybe I should just pass them around. Okay, I'm going to do a handful. Those at the back. Keep your eyes open. And again. It is holiday week. Right, at the back.
You ready? I'm going to poke someone's eye out. Anna, do you want one? Right, and I'll just pass the rest around. So feel free to eat your Lindor now. Oh, taste and see that the Lindor is good. Or what you can do is save it. None of you have done. None of you have saved it. Spit it out, John. What you could do is keep it in your handbag, or gentlemen, somewhere where we keep stuff. I don't know where we keep stuff. In your pocket. Maybe your chest pocket. It won't melt there if you have a chest pocket. Anyway, back to the point. Keep it. And this week, if you're kind of at a place where you're like, God, I really need to know your goodness, whip out the Lindor, taste and see that the Lindor is good, and let it remind you of the goodness of God. How's that sound? But there is, you know, I can't afford it. Okay, yeah, that's a good idea. We just spend the collection on Lindor. Sounds really good. You know, posturing ourselves for an encounter with God, just knowing that actually, you know, God is to be experienced. You know, he's not just a belief system. He's not just an interesting academic thing to wrestle with. You know, he's not out there and distant. He wants to be experienced. He's an experiential God. And we experience him in many different ways. But for me, to posture myself in times where I'm just really like having a hard time, where for an encounter with the Lord. And you can do that in many ways. You go out on a walk, I just sometimes lie on my floor, or just, you know, just really go for it in prayer. You know, just get on my knees and just share my heart, shout at God, whatever it is. But just to know that actually, Lord, I want to taste and see. I don't want to just think and see. I want to taste and see that you're good. I want that peace that you promised, that love that you promised, to permeate my mind, to permeate my thinking, and to leave this encounter with you having done an exchange. You say, Lord, that come to me all who are weak and I will give you rest. I want to walk in rest, Lord. You say your yoke is easy, your burden is light. I want to leave this encounter lighter. I want to have given you some stuff. I want to have taken on some of your nature, and to actually posture ourselves for an encounter whereby we make an exchange is really, really important thing. And just recognizing, actually really, really choosing to try and focus your mind so you can go deeper into your thinking and say, Lord, what am I believing at the moment about you or about myself or about this situation which makes me feel like you don't care, which makes me feel like you're not good or that you're not interested in it? We need to really fight. You know, the kingdom suffers violence and the violent take it by force. It's not an actual violence. I think it's an aggression in the kingdom. I think, you know, sometimes we need to fight for the belief and the permeation of the belief of God, the goodness of God in our lives. Because it's our job to leak goodness, to leak life wherever we go. That's what Jesus paid for. He paid for that, that we could be carriers of his life. So shall I just read out Psalm 34? I was reading it this morning. It's just fantastic. Just as I read it, why don't you just let it soak into you? Just let certain phrases just hit you and bless you and stuff like that. So, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant. Their faces shall never be ashamed. The poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. O, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. O, fear the Lord, you his saints, for to those who fear him there is no want. The young lions do not lack and suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life
and loves length of days that he may see good. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are towards the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against evildoers, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate righteousness will be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. Father, I just want to just pray right now for those people in the room who are crushed and brokenhearted. I want to claim your promise here for them, that you will deliver them out of their troubles, and that you would be near to them, and that you would save them. So, in conclusion, God is so good. God, okay, let's do that, yeah. God is good.
All the time.
You know, he is so, so good. He is amazing. Every single good thing comes from him. Light permeates from him. Life, like, comes from him. You know, think of a good thing. Right now, I'm thinking of laughter and dolphins. And children, when they say the most crazy, hilarious things, you know, that are so random. Those are good things, and God came up with those. You know, that is who he is. He's just so good. And in every situation, he's working for good. In every situation, he's working with us. And he's wanting us to be releasers of his life and his goodness. And we need to see Jesus, the wonderful, wonderful Jesus, as the model, as perfect theology. So when bad stuff is happening, when our theology can be challenged or whatever, we come back to Jesus as the model, hanging on a tree, loving his creation back to himself. Jesus is perfect theology. And then in the midst of unanswered prayer, we need to posture ourselves through good thinking, through being okay with the fact that you cannot know the answer, through acknowledging that actually prayer is not supposed to be a roulette wheel. It's about intimacy and tenderness and friendship with God. Through recognizing that actually, this isn't the fact that God hasn't answered. The reason this hasn't happened is because the church hasn't stepped up. That actually, we are to walk in authority, and he's given us authority, and there's a need for us to grow. Fourthly, to give ourselves to worship and thankfulness, to feed yourself on testimonies and what God is doing and being encouraged by that. Through declaring the truth from Scripture and then through just recognizing that God says he's never going to leave or forsake us, and to actually press in to taste and see that the Lord is good and to encounter him and leave changed. Jesus, I just want to thank you for your goodness. Father, I want to pray that we would be a congregation of people who leak your joy, who leak your life, who leak your creativity, who just leak goodness and light wherever we go, Father. And I pray for any wrong thinkings that we have about you, just to be dismantled. But Holy Spirit, you promise us that you would be our teacher. And I ask that just as we go about this week, Father, that Holy Spirit, you just bring to light certain lies that we may be believing about certain people or situations or about you, that you just change our thinking so that our thinking is aligned with your good thinking, Lord. Amen. Amen.